Good morning, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
There we go. My name is Vince. Just got a chance to take a look at y'all. How y'all doing? Everyone's just like coffeeed. You're not using that coffee to get extra energy, are you? You had 8+ hours of sleep last night, right? You've all exercised appropriately this week, 3 times, 30 minutes a time, getting your heart rate above, 130? Of course, right? You're all nodding. You've eaten well. You've probably been to counseling twice this week already, right? Doing some of your personal work. You read a self-help book. Did your taxes for next year already, right? So really, if something would go wrong right now in your life, you'd be calm as a cucumber, right? Mindful, just sitting in that moment going, wow, normally I'd be freaking out right now, but I'm calm. I'm seeing 3 different ways I can deal with this situation. That's what. Can I get like a TV Black Church amen for that? Amen. I, on the other hand, am not feeling that way. I had a Coke last night at about 7 o'clock, so I fell asleep at maybe 1, tossed and turned, woke up at 5:30, thinking, why? Everything sucks. I spent the day working on my truck, so I'm underneath my truck, you know, on a creeper with my knees up, trying to wedge these things off and welding. And so today I'm feeling, keep seeing me moving because I'm stiff and sore. I didn't exercise this weekend because it snowed, so I couldn't go biking. If I had a cup of tea right now that was super heavily caffeinated, I would be a much happier person in this world. Right? The personal work I do in my life, I'm working on it. It's not that I've ignored it. It's just not going quite as quick as I'd hoped. I thought I'd be done, right? I'm 44. I should be done all that stuff now. It's probably a little closer to how we all are, isn't it? A little worn out, a little bedraggled. And if something, if you get stuck on your way out, if you're anything like me, I have probably about 3 seconds of mindfulness in me, and then I'm going to blow a gasket. In 3 seconds, it's going to be like 1, 2, 3. Then I'm going to yell and scream at somebody or I don't know, something. But it feels, this time of year just feels full, busy, doesn't it? I go to get together with people and your schedules are packed. We're booking a month from now to get together, even with close friends. Kids are back to school, doing all the extracurricular stuff. So basically half of you are human taxi drivers. You have no life. You just drive your kids around. We're overwhelmed. We're busy, right? The story today I want to talk about is a story about Jesus being overwhelmed. Now, this is the second week in our Luke series. Jeff started it last week and he talked about prayer. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that one, I don't mean to toot his horn, but damn, that was good. But today I'm going to talk about prayer in a different way. So, Grant Pollock usually sits right over here. And after the service, every once in a while, he'll come up to me and say, you know, I could have told that Bible story in about half the time you did. I was like, jerk. So I was like, that's it. So I emailed him a couple weeks ago and said, okay, you're telling the Bible story this week. That's how it's going to work. Let's see how fast you can do it. Of course, he's away out of town this week, right? Typical. So this is going to be my best Grant Pollock impression to tell the Bible story. Jesus heals someone, gets mobbed, and takes off. Now, let me break it down a little bit. Jesus, so the story goes, some guy walks up to him. He's got leprosy, which leprosy's, the translation there is a bit hinky. It's basically a skin disease, and it's tied to a whole bunch of stuff we've talked about before. It would take me 3 weeks to explain it all, and even then, it's just theoretical. But he heals this guy, and the first thing you're thinking is, he healed somebody. Wow. But in that day and age, that was common. Jesus healed people. Other people healed people. His disciples healed people. Healings and what we think of as healings aren't really the same thing. So first, you have to hear this story. yeah, he's special, but the point of the story is not the healing, because that's pretty common. The point of the story is what happens after the healing. Now, just imagine for a moment, close your eyes for a second, walk yourself over to Chinook Mall, sit in the middle of Chinook Mall in the food court, find somebody with a broken arm, walk up, put your hand on them, and their arm is healed. How long do you think it will take for Twitter to explode and everybody in Calgary to be sitting in the food court with you? And of course, when they show up, they would only ask for you to heal them for about half an hour, and then they think, okay, you're tired, right? Had a long day. We'll just come back another day. No. They are going to be on you all day, all night, until everything that they want to get fixed is fixed. And that's what happens to Jesus. He heals this guy, and everyone finds out, and they just mob him. Mob him. And it's this weird thing, because the text says, I'll read it to you. But Jesus would withdraw to the wilderness for prayer. This is his response. We think Jesus, right? I can heal people, so I'm just going to do that nonstop. I'm just going to take water nonstop, right? But no, he says, Jesus would withdraw to the wilderness for prayer. Now, a couple things you have to be cognizant of here. That word wilderness, don't think high on the mountains where it's full of brush. It's not like a rugged place. Another way to translate that word is a deserted place. Translation, he got away from all the people. He left. He needed some Jesus time. Just him and no one else. And then he prays. Now we're thinking, well, of course, he's Jesus, he prays. That's what he does, right? It's Jesus. But I don't think prayer means what we think it means in this context. Because why do you need to go to a place where there's nobody around, get away from all the people, to pray and ask for God to fix something? Or to be strengthened? I think the point of the story, that line, is to say, no, he's creating space for himself by getting away from people, the people that he could heal. And I think prayer works a little bit different. And the reason I say that is, I was here 2 years ago, actually, in this auditorium, facing this way, because that's how the Jewish services work, on high holidays. That's why we have this set up here. It's the Jewish high holidays. And we're sitting there, and, you know, we're a pretty new religion. You know, Protestantism's been around for maybe 500 years, our form much less than that. So I'm sitting in a service of a group that's probably been worshiping the same way somewhere between 4 and 5,000 years. I go to Catholic services and not know what's going on. This was a whole new level of magnitude. They knew stuff and they did stuff without talking about it that I had no clue. And at one point they start saying this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of his glorious kingdom forever and ever." Who does it sound like they're talking to there? The first one's Israel, but the second one? They're talking about God, isn't it? Kind of sounds like a prayer, doesn't it? Kind of a beautiful prayer. If you're Jewish, this has been part of your life, most likely from the very earliest memories you have. It was beautiful. I was moved. I left just feeling in awe. Until I walked out and I met with the director of the temple. I said, "Oh, wow, that service, it moved me." He says, "Yeah, okay, thanks." So we're talking a little longer, and he's like, "So yeah, most of them are atheists, but you know, we try and do more." And I was like, whoa, what did you just say to me? Did you just say most of them are atheists? Like, not the people that were here, though, right? Because these people were all theists, right? He's looking at me funny. No, they're all atheists. So I said, you can tell I don't even have the words at this point. I'm going to So what are atheists doing praying to God? And he says, oh, they're not praying to God. They're saying the prayers that they've said every year for their entire life. This is cultural. This feeds their souls. This feels good to them. It feels comfortable. It feels grounding. I'm not just a person floating out here. I'm attached to 4,000 years of religious history. So when they say pray, it's not the way we're thinking in terms of Protestantism. They're thinking in terms of doing that ritual that has connected them to their culture and their God for their entire lives. If you had no cell phones, TV, internet, books to read, what exactly would you do to recharge yourself and calm down? Would you maybe say the lines that you've said as part of your culture for your whole life? Would you pray? Not in the Protestant sense, not in the sense of I'm trying to get God to do something, but in the sense of saying these lines that mean so much to you and your culture. Jesus, after being mobbed by a group of people who wanted to heal him, goes to a place where there's no one else, and he prays. Could it be that the word we hear prayer, we're going right away is to ask God for something, get God to give me strength, blah, blah, blah. Could it be that that was his way to create that mental capacity to deal with his life? Think about it. Imagine a world where you can help almost anybody. How do you create the space to deal with that? How do you? Imagine your life for just a second. Imagine your life in the healthiest way possible. You've recharged. You've done the work you need to do. Something happens at work. Instead of being upset, imagine that you're just calm through the whole thing, living your values. Imagine something sad happens on the TV. Instead of feeling sad for the next week, the next month, imagine that just moves away. Can you imagine the mental capacity, or the mental, capacity to deal with life so that your brain and your life aren't so close that if anything goes wrong, you just collapse? Imagine having the space in your life to be able to deal with your life. To be calm, to be mindful. Imagine treating the people you love with love. Not snapping, not barfing your pain on them. Do you know what creates that kind of capacity in your mind? Me and Alessandra talked about it this week. Said, Alessandra, what creates that capacity so you can deal with life? What creates that space in your mind? She said three things. Exercise, for her, running. Beautiful music. And outside. So she sent me a song that she said, just imagine running, because we run together. She's part of my run club. We run together all the time. Imagine running through a beautiful trail, listening to this. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I said, would you play it for us? So what I had is she's going to play for us. This is the best I can do of taking you outside. I didn't want to bring you out in the snow. So just imagine for a moment and see, does this create space inside of you? How do you feel? A little different? I was sitting down there thinking, what am I thinking? What am I going to say next? And then also the song hit me, and then I forgot what I was going to talk about. I thought, oh, geez, I got to snap out of it, Clausen. It's beautiful, isn't it? Nature, beautiful music. So, a couple months ago, I did a race. And to get ready for this race, one of the things I did, I was training a lot. So I spent a tremendous amount of time in the mountains this last year. Most weekends I would go up there on Saturday. I'd spend about 6 hours just in some of the most breathtaking trails you've ever seen. I'd have days where the sun is shining through the leaves and you're running through and it's these dappled scenes, brooks flowing by you. I had days where these snowflakes seemed huge. They're just kind of like... It was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. And when I got back to the car, I was almost mental how much my brain was freaking out. You didn't see me going there, did you? You see, being in nature, doing something like running, doesn't create mental capacity for me. In fact, driving home, if I had to wait to take a left to get out of Bragg Creek, I was the guy yelling and screaming at everyone to turn quicker and honking at everyone. After being in the mountains for 6 hours, the thing that should have completely created mental space to deal with anything that could come my way, right? Didn't work. I'd spent 6 hours thinking about the same thing over and over and over again. By the end, I was going mental. I could not deal with it. Alessandra works every time. For me, not supposed to be this weekend, but last weekend, we went out dirt biking. It was muddy. We crashed, I don't know how many times. We flew over everything. We rode for 4 hours. I could hardly lift my arm by the end of it. My knee was so swollen, I couldn't do squats for a week. And I was the calmest person in the history of the world. For me, taking something out of my life doesn't create mental capacity. So I don't want you to hear rest or absence necessarily. Because for some of us, we need to add something to our lives. This isn't just about getting more sleep. This is about creating things that create mental capacity for you. For me, if it's just on the edge of death and I could be, you know, killed at any moment, my brain is so focused that it comes out of there just completely relaxed. I feel incredible. That's why I always tell you guys these dumb stories of just about dying. Because it helps me stay calm with my life. You're still looking at me like, I don't know, Clausen, you're a little crazy. That whole mountain thing should have worked for you. I was talking to a friend of mine. Before I say it, I'll tell you the story in a second. Do you know what recharges you? But more specifically, do you know what creates mental capacity to deal with life? Do you know it? We say we exist, tell people who don't fit church. That's our way of saying people who know themselves. Do you know what works? Do you know what creates calmness? So when you're in traffic and someone cuts you off, it's no big deal. Probably in a hurry. Do you know what works for your partner? How about for your kids? Some of them, timeout works every time, right? Next kid. That just creates so much stress inside of them. Do you know? I was talking to a friend of mine. She's had the worst year I could possibly imagine. Not physically, but emotionally. Just devastated. And I sat across the table from her, and she just... the weight of the world is impacting her health, is impacting her ability to parent her kids, her work. It's taking her out. She said, Vince, anything happens and I am just, the fuse is so short right now. She says, you know what? I gotta start swimming. I'm just gonna start swimming. I'm gonna add swimming to my life, and that's gonna fix this. I didn't laugh out loud at her, but remember a couple weeks ago in summer, I talked about masculine and feminine traits. We have sexual gender, sexual orientation. There's this idea that says we have masculine and feminine traits. And if you want to know a bit more about it, you can go check out the podcast. Is equality and equal sameness? So I'm going to talk in terms of that. Now, I knew her well enough to know she primarily has a feminine trait core. That's who she is. And her coming in all, I'm going to go swimming and it's going to be half an hour a day, blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, can I suggest something else? She says, okay. It's okay. Here's what I want you to do. I know you like swimming. So before you go swimming this time, I want you to go to the swimsuit shop and get yourself a new bathing suit. One that just feels amazing and that you think it's just, it feels incredible. And then I want you to wear your new bathing suit and go to the pool and I want you to swim. But don't just rush out of there and get back to work or go back to, you know, home. Go sit in the hot tub for a while. Just sit back. Kind of let that warm water flow through your muscles. Take your time. Then go to the change room. Maybe hang out in the steam room a bit. Don't rush. She loves having her hair done and her makeup done. So I said, okay, go in the change room. Do your hair. Do your makeup. Wait until you feel incredible. And then come out. How do you feel right now? Tears are like leaking out of the corner of her eyes. Do you know what works for you? Do you need to come dirt biking with me? I can't promise you'll make it home alive, but man, you will not think about anything else during that time. I took my brother-in-law out the other day. He's never ridden before. By the end, first he couldn't walk anymore. He crashed. He had this massive bruise. He said, Vince, I don't think I've ever had anything more mentally exhausting than that in my entire life. And he flies planes for a living full of people. He was done. But I'm telling you, mental capacity for days. Are you like my friend Rita? Taking care of you, doing something slowly, something that has amazing experiences. Do you know what works for you? Do you know what works for your family? Here's what I want to suggest to you guys. Like Jesus the introvert, he took time away from people. I made my best case to say, I think he said the prayers of his childhood. He spent time calming himself, creating that capacity to deal with a world. And let's be honest, 12 students who just did not get the plot for a really long time. I swear, at some points I would have punched him and he was calm. I need to go pray again. Holy crap, you guys are driving me nuts. Take half an hour this week. Try something. Chances are it'll look different than you maybe thought. That's okay. You'll know it's working not by if you've had enough sleep. You'll know it's working by when something unexpected happens in your life, you can handle it with grace and love and peace. You can act out your values. That's when you know it's working. So try something for half an hour and just see how you feel after. Timing of the day is important. So I want to speak to one more group of people. There's a lot of mums in our community. And I think mums have really got... Society right now has mistreated mums. Because mum gets up first thing in the morning, takes care of all the kids, then the partner, and then if there's 5 seconds left, they maybe take care of themselves, but they feel guilty the whole time because they should probably put something else in there that would help someone else, right? Taking care of you, that would just be selfish and horrible. But if you're a woman and a mother and you have a feminine core, There's something really important. You work best when you recharge first. When you get up in the morning, don't rush off to take care of someone else. That half hour that I asked you to do, you're all looking at me like I'm crazy. Okay, 15 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever you can put up. You can throw me a bone here. Give me some time. Before you take care of anyone in your life, your kids, your partner, your job, your career, I don't care, PTA, whatever, give yourself a section of time to recharge you, to create the mental capacity. I know people, I have one friend, makes a special cup of tea, sits in a certain chair in her living room with beautiful light. She has an afghan she pulls over her legs, and she reads a book. When the kids come in screaming, she's calm. I have another friend. For her, it's important. I don't know. She's the only person I know who's in the evening. When the kids go to bed, sits down with a glass of wine. And in one couple, he takes care of the kids in the morning. She goes and does a workout, gets ready. She doesn't even see the family until she's done all that. She comes down the stairs, best mom ever. If you were exhausted, overwhelmed, burned out, completely sucked dry, and then you're trying to parent and do all the things that moms do, come on, give me a break. So for you moms out there, let me just encourage you with love in my heart. Take care of you first. I will bet you a steak dinner you'll be a better mom, better partner, better boss. You name it, you will be better. Give yourself permission to take care of you first. For the rest of us, we need to figure this out. I think Jesus had it dialed in. I can't dirt bike all year round, so I got to figure out something else. What's your thing? What's your partner's thing? What's your kid's thing? What's your parents' thing? If we know this, our lives will change. Imagine your life. Anything hits you sideways, anything blows up, and you're calm and able to deal with it. May we be a people who know ourselves so we can live in this world the way we want to live. Friends Church exists to help people who don't fit church find their unique spirituality, and I think this is a major part of that unique spirituality that makes the world better. Tell me you don't make the world better when you have mental capacity to deal with life. Some people, I'm going to tie this into Thanksgiving. You're wondering, how's he going to get to Thanksgiving on this one? Brene Brown and a bunch of other researchers have shown us that gratitude, spending time writing down what you're grateful for, has the ability to shift us and create capacity like very few other things. So today, as you spend time with your families or spend time alone, whatever your thing is, ask yourself, what am I grateful for? Not just because that's what we do on Thanksgiving, but to create that space so we can live this in our worlds. Have a great week, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.